السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما من دابة في الأرض إلا على الله رزقها. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا. صدق الله العظيم. Ulama Ikram, most respected brothers, you are well aware that we are discussing a letter of Hazrat Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi to his student. In there he discussed many issues and then he relates an incident. For those who have not followed what has already been discussed, then tapes are available. Rest assured that I have no royalty and no commission in those tapes. Whatever benefit, it goes towards the maintenance of the madrasa and the masjid. Unfortunately, because deen has become so commercialized that our mind immediately runs towards such ideas that each and everyone must be in the same category, trying to sell deen at any cost. Every aspect of deen has become commercialized. What is left of deen that is not commercialized? We don't say that it is not permissible to sell, for example, kitabs, or to sell tapes, or to print literature and then sell for a living. It's all permissible. Or to take groups for Hajj, if a person is making a little living out of it. I'm not saying it is haram. It is permissible. What I am saying is that there is also something in deen that we have learned, which we term as a service to the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, a service to the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That if a person has got sufficient, Allah ta'ala has provided for him out of his fazl and out of his bounty, that there must also be that desire in the heart of a person that I must serve the creation of Allah, I must serve the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala without expectation of any reward in this world. Because that is the sunnah of the Nabis. That was the sunnah of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam. That they immediately told the people, La as'alukum alayhi ajra, in ajriya illa ala Allahi ta'ala. That I am not seeking any reward from you. My reward is by Allah. Then Allah ta'ala will not deprive that person even in this world of his necessities of life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will provide from sources least expected. That person who gives himself in to the service of the deen of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, you think Allah ta'ala is going to deprive that person? If a person comes to your business and he says that I do not want any salary, but I am going to work for you from morning 8 till 5, but I don't want any salary. And you know also that that person doesn't have any other means of income. That's the only means of income that he could have had is to work for you. Now he works and he works very hard and he sacrifices his time. He makes an effort. So you think that you are going to deprive that person. You are not going to give him anything to make ends meet or to live. Automatically the person will think that this person is spending all his time in my service. Then it is my duty now to take care of his needs. So that person who gives himself to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the provider and sustainer of everything in this universe, sustainer of the creatures, of the animals in the jungles, of the fish in the sea, of the human beings, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is the provider, we think he is going to deprive that person. Then to sell everything that is of deen and to commercialize everything of deen, nothing is left uncommercialized. It is so hurtful. Therefore we are not seeing the noor and the barkat and the ruh in anything. Even those who come for madrasa collections from overseas, or they too, they will give you a big picture. We want to establish this institution and we want to cater for so many huffaz and so many qurras and so many ulama and so many yateems. But at the end of the day, there's huge commissions in their collections. So I'm not saying that these things are haram, to work for certain institutions of deen and take a salary. That is permissible, it's 100% permissible. But there must be something that a person must be prepared to give over and above that duty which was delegated to him. He must be prepared to give over and above that, because he is taking a salary for the service that he is already rendering. This just came by the way to tell you that if you have not followed what we were discussing, then get the tapes, that I have got no royalty or commission in the tapes or in the kitabs or in the imamat or in anything. Make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me ikhlas in my heart and serve for the sake of his pleasure, because then only we will find some noor and some effect in those bayans. So what we were discussing is Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi's letter to his student. And in there he discussed many things, and after that he discusses an incident in the life of Hazrat Hatim Asam Rahmatullah Alayhi and Shaqiq Balkhi Rahmatullah Alayhi. So there Hazrat Hatim Asam, now that he was departing from his ustad and his shaykh after 33 years, when he questioned him, what did you learn? He said, just 8 things. He said, 8 things, now then tell me what are those 8? Because 33 years to learn just 8 lessons, it seems that you have wasted your time and my time. So the first thing that he mentioned there was that I saw that every person has got his heart attached to something or the other, but sooner or later either he parts from that beloved of his or that beloved parts from him. So therefore what I made the beloved of my life was Amal-e-Saliha. And I explained in detail that Amal-e-Saliha does not mean just the reading of Tasbih in the masjid or making Zikrullah or making salat or fasting all the time. Every action and every deed of a person, if he does it in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah, then it is Amal-e-Saliha. His niyat must be correct. So that is the important thing, that the person must know that what he is doing is in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah in the first place. If he doesn't have that knowledge, then how he is going to make the amal? You got to have the knowledge to make the amal right. If a person does not know how to make the salat, he does not know the faraiz, the wajibat, he does not know anything to recite, then how is he going to make the salat? So the seeking of knowledge becomes essential. Now the seeking of that knowledge again, so that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala become pleased, and so that he may be able to distinguish between halal and haram, all these things have to be looked at. Nevertheless, that part we had discussed to some extent, and I said that if we are going to carry on with Iman and Amal al-Saleh, we can go on till the end of the year, and all our life too we can't finish. So let us go on to the next point, which we had discussed to some extent, and that was rizq. This also you have heard many, many times in the past from other ulama also about halal and haram. And this rizq, he says that I noticed the second point, he says the second lesson that I learned is that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif that there is no creature on earth but that its sustenance is with Allah. Allah Ta'ala is going to provide sustenance for whichever creature he has created. Allah Ta'ala is going to provide sustenance. Animals, human beings, anything, Allah Ta'ala is going to provide the sustenance. To whatever extent he has decreed, that sustenance will reach that person. He will not leave this world until he has gained or he has acquired that which is destined for him. Of course, Allah Ta'ala in his infinite knowledge knows that this person is going to be really lazy, he is not going to go and work, there will be a lot of job opportunities, but this person is not going to go and seek his livelihood, and neither is he going to be of those very pious and righteous and muttaqi people who trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to that extent that Allah ta'ala will provide for them from sources unknown. He is neither of them. So then this person is going to suffer. He is not going to get sufficient amount of risk. So then he must not blame Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and say, well, Allah ta'ala is the provider of risk, so why must I go and open the business? Why must I go to the marketplace? I must relax, I must sit, and Allah ta'ala will send it. Yes, if he is muttaqi of that level, if he's got that kind of tawakkul and trust that Rasul-e-Pak and the Sahaba-e-Kiram and the awliya of the ummat had, then we will say it is acceptable. But how many of us do really have that kind of tawakkul and that kind of yaqeen and that kind of trust in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Or how many of us have that kind of amal and actions in our lives that we can say Allah ta'ala will provide for us from sources unknown to us? We have to just serve the deen of Allah ta'ala and he is going to provide. How many of us do have that kind of yaqeen? Therefore, Allah Ta'ala has got the marketplace, He has got different asbab and means, and we must make use of those means. But the important point is this, that we must understand that Allah Ta'ala is the provider, and we have to please Him, whether it is business, whether it is a profession, whether it is farming, whatever it may be that we are adopting for the sake of livelihood, then there must be nothing but truthfulness, honesty, and earning also in 100% halal manner. Because if that earning is not halal, then there's going to be definitely no barakat in that person's risk and sustenance. The risk will come. He can even win $1 million, or recently people are winning 13 million and 16 million and I don't know how many million in the lottery. So does it mean that that person didn't get sustenance? He got sustenance, but it came through a haram source. And what comes through the haram source will never ever bring any kind of barakat in that person's life. Go and ask anyone who is earning through haram means. At the end of the day, they will say that we saw no barakat. All our earnings, we saw no barakat. It was like a bubble that finally burst. That is the common complaint of everyone. So many people who finally decided to change their lives and turn away from haram, and they made sincere tawbah, then they will tell you that indeed all the effort that we put into earning from haram sources, plentiful came. But as that example I always give, that it's like the flood waters. That flood waters, there's plenty of water, but in that water there's dead animals, there's dead donkeys, dead monkeys, there's dead pigs there, and there's all kinds of urine and stool and other filth that is flowing in that water. Now if a person is going to drink that water, he's going to die. He's going to suffer from bilharzia. He's going to suffer from so much other sicknesses. He could end up with cholera. So many things will happen. But the water is plentiful. So don't look at the quantity. Look at the quality of the water. That little water will satisfy that person's thirst. It will quench his thirst. It will give him nourishment. It will give him satisfaction. So don't look at the quantity that is coming. Reduce those businesses. If those businesses cannot be conducted in the halal way, you do not have that much capital to conduct such large and huge industries and businesses, or whatever business the person is engaging in, then reduce it, bring it down. You rather have a very small corner cafe somewhere, but it will give you barakat. That little that will come, there will be barakat. And barakat is that that little will suffice for the person's own needs, suffice for his family's needs. And in fact, if we have to look at the past, one old person sometimes used to be working. In our grandfather's days, one person used to be working. 13 people are eating. And from that little earning, and sometimes they used to earn £5 and £10, and from that little earning they used to save, send for the masjids and madrasas in India, look after their family members, and even save sufficiently to go for Hajj and Umrahs. So what was it? It was barakat. In that little, Allah Ta'ala gave them barakat. And this is not something that happened 1400 years ago. I'm talking about 25, 30, 40 years ago. Those people know that at that time also, in those shops, they never brought their daughters to work in those shops. They didn't bring their wives to work in those shops. That one old man with his staff used to work. But everybody used to eat, drink, and everybody was happy. There was unity in the family. Today we've got the whole family working. The whole family is working. The wife is working. The daughter is working. The son is working. The grandchildren are working. And yet at the end of the day, they say that it is not sufficient. It is not enough. So there is something that is wrong somewhere. And that is that we have forgotten that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the provider. Again, you must not misunderstand me. I am not saying that women folk cannot go out to work out of necessity. There are so many that just cannot make ends meet. Those husbands are earning ridiculous salaries, peanuts. How are they going to pay rent, light, water? So there are some women folk who are forced to go and work. I'm not talking about those. I'm talking about those who have to maintain a certain lifestyle. And for the sake of maintaining that certain lifestyle, their modesty, their shame, their haya, and everything is sacrificed. The parents do not consider one bit the sacrificing of their haya and shame and modesty. Then when they get involved here and involved there, then they say, Maulana, please, can you give some taweez to separate these people? And this is what has happened. I'm talking about incidents of this nature at the workplace, what is happening. Our daughters were working as air hostesses. I was on a flight. I won't mention it, otherwise sometime the person might know who I'm talking about. And there a Muslim girl comes with her badge. She makes salam, so therefore I was concerned. They say she's some Khadija. And she's serving liquor, she's serving wine, she's serving brandy, and she's serving everything to the passengers. And she's going through all the abuse. There are so many passengers who are drunk and they abuse those sisters of ours. They swear them, they curse them, they make demands upon them. Now at that time we won't talk about rights of the women. Is that the right of the child? Is that the right of the daughter? Is that the right of the Muslim woman? That there are 400 passengers and she is prepared to take all the abuse. And when we tell her, serve one husband and look after the home of that husband and look after your children and tell the husband that it is your duty that you go and earn and provide and sustain, then they say that that is depriving them of their right. So there is something that has gone wrong, as a result of which there is absolutely no happiness. There is no peace, there is no unity, there is no satisfaction, there is no contentment. So this is our cry, that bring back Quran and the Sunnah in your lives and my life. If we have to bring it back, then we will get that peace and everything once again in our homes. So I'm not saying that out of necessity they don't have to go and work. But then modesty, shame and haya is something that cannot be bartered and sacrificed. That has to be taken consideration of. Nevertheless, what I was saying is that this haram, once it comes into the system, then according to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that person who has just one dirham of haram, he purchases a garment, and it is just one dirham of haram. Out of 10 dirham garment, there is one dirham of haram. He says his duas are not accepted. That person's namazes are not accepted. The fatwa will be given that he doesn't have to make qaza, but his namaz, his zakat, his namaz and his other ibadat, they are not maqbool. Hazrat Saad bin Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala, he asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make dua that I become mustajabud da'wat. Meaning that whatever duas I make, Allah ta'ala must accept it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, O Saad, what you should do is let your earnings and let your food and everything be totally halal. I'm just giving you explanation. He said, let everything be totally halal. When it is going to be halal, whatever morsel goes down into your belly, if it is going to be totally halal, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make you mustajabud da'wat. Whatever du'as you will make, Allah ta'ala will accept those du'as. We have a problem, our du'as are not being accepted. So this is another major problem, that it is, we are unconcerned about where our risk is coming from. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, we have to read their stories, read in the Hikayat of Sahaba of Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh, that how even if they had a doubtful morsel that went down their throat, just doubtful, they made sure that they took it out even if it meant that they had to lose their lives. Their lives were at risk, thrusting the fingers down the throat and forcing out the vomit. And finally still saying, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala finally still said, Ya Allah, whatever I could have done, I have done. Because it was a doubtful thing that he had been given to eat. He says, whatever I could have done, I have done. But still if some part of it went away into my system, then now you forgive me. But his life was at risk. Look at what Rasulullah Pak Swasam did when there's that one date, which was from his house. It was not even certain that it was a date of sadaqah. But because of that, what did he go through? So this is what the teaching of Islam is. Therefore, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak, he says that for me to return one dirham which has come to me through a haram source or a doubtful source, to return that, he says it is far better than my giving sadaqah of 600,000 dirhams. It's better than my giving sadaqah of 600,000 dirhams. Now we would have said that what does it matter? I mean, here 600,000 dirhams he gave as sadaqah. So if a person is earning through haram, halal, whatever it is, but he's giving a lot of charity, so what does it matter? Yes, it won't matter to those who come for collection at your doors every day. To them it won't matter. They will say, no, if you earn more like that, it's good, because then we can get more. But what are we doing to our own lives, to the lives of our children? The Sahaba-e-Kiram, their wives used to tell them, and look at who they are telling to, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where there was absolutely no doubt that they were only interested in halal and nothing but halal. But those wives used to tell to them that whatever you do, please don't feed us with haram. We will bear the pangs of pain that will come upon us due to poverty. That is acceptable to us. we rather suffer the pangs of pain, of poverty. That is acceptable to us. But please don't bring anything that is haram into the home. They were telling those companions. And yet they were such pious and righteous people that there was no question of them going and earning haram. Now in our lives we have to see, what are we providing to our children? If we are not getting obedience from our children, and if in our own lives it is not encouraging us to make namaz, we don't find any taste, any enjoyment in ibadat, in zikr, in tilawat. We don't find any enjoyment in tahajjud, in ishraq or in chasht. We don't find any enjoyment in subhanallah, alhamdulillah, allahu akbar. We don't find any enjoyment in ibadat. Then it means that the food which we are nourishing ourselves with, it is not halal. It is not coming from a true and proper halal source. We are tainting it with so much of haram. We are tainting it with so much of haram. And as a result, we are not getting that hikmat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's hadiths, that if the person for 40 days has to eat halal, that which is truly halal, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will cause the fountains of wisdom to gush forth from his heart. Allah will fill his heart with nur, and Allah ta'ala will extract the love of dunya from his heart. Allah ta'ala will extract the love of dunya. I'm not saying that the world and all it contains is dunya. I've mentioned this many times, that cars, homes, gold, silver, clothes, all these things are not dunya. What is dunya is that when the person is being distracted by these things, it turns him away from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that is dunya. So he says that if for 40 days this person has to do that, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will fill his heart with nur. Now how many of us can say, yes, alhamdulillah, for 40 days I have eaten alhamdulillah 100% halal and my heart is filled with nur. But of course it goes with namaz and all the other ibadat. But there is something that is seriously wrong in the marketplace, and there is no lack of evidence of what is happening. So much of stolen goods are being sold, and the person knows fully well that at this price I cannot purchase this from anywhere. It is not one of those cheap Chinese imports. It is definitely stolen good. But if you have ready buyers, then there will be plenty of people to steal. So for the kuffar and the mushrikeen, for the Yahud and the Nasara, that is their life. But when it comes to the believer, then he believes that my risk, if it is not halal, then it is going to bring plentiful of problems in my life. My children, my wife, my home, my business, everything will suffer. That is the promise of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and the promise of Allah does not go wrong. If there is promise that there's going to be destruction from Allah ta'ala, then sooner or later there's going to be destruction. So those people who say that it is impossible to earn halal these days, everything in the marketplace is haram, then that is a fallacy, that is a misunderstanding. As far as we are concerned, if we go to a business or we are buying from someone and our conscience tells us that no, what this person is selling, he's got a proper invoice and it is from halal sources, if we are satisfied, then for our purposes that will be halal. We will go by the fatwa. But what I am saying is that the person deliberately, if he's going to go towards haram, then there's going to be serious problem. And then what happens is that with that kind of money, charities are being given, bringing problems into the masjid. Charities are being given to the madrasas, bringing problems into the madrasas. Charities are being given to the other Islamic institutions, bringing problems into those institutions. Then we say, what is the cause that ulama of the caliber of the past are not being produced anymore? Why is it that ulama are also being caught for adultery and fornication and all kinds of scandals? Why is it that the ulama do not have that kind of akhlaq and that kind of dignity and honor as those of the past? Why is it that we do not find those kind of attributes in them? The huffaz, why is it that we are getting huffaz going to the prostitute quarters? Why is it that hafizas are caught in cinemas and in theaters and in all kinds of vices? Why is it that those who are wearing Islamic garb, they are still seen in so many haram places, and even in their own homes indulging in so much of haram things? That is the reason, that halal is not going into our system and into the system of the children. So at the most they become alims or hafizas or qaris in some institution or the other. But that akhlaq, that nuraniyat, that ruhaniyat, which is the direct outcome of halal, that is lacking. What do we do? The time expires so quick. If Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives life and another opportunity, we will continue. I make dua that Allah Ta'ala give me also the tawfiq, because the person who is speaking, he will be held accountable even more than the others. That when you gave a speech on halal, then why were you not concerned about halal yourself? When you gave such beautiful speeches on namaz, on charities, on honesty, on truthfulness, on sincerity, then why is it that these traits were not seen visible in your own life? So it is very easy to ask for platforms to speak. We only know what the risks are. So therefore I ask you to make dua that Allah give me the tawfiq of amal, and I make dua that Allah give you and the entire ummah the tawfiq of amal. Once again, we should make a lot of dua for the disaster that has taken place in India. And we should take lessons also from that disaster and the collections which are being made. Then we should contribute and make plenty of dua that Allah elevate their suffering. And those who have passed away, who are believers in Allah, Allah give them the stages of shahadat. Amen. And give sabr-e-jameel and ajr-e-azim to those whom they have left behind. Wa akhiru da'wana.